Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Authentic Persuasion weekly training session. I am back. This is live. It is Friday, November 12th. First off, happy Veterans Day for everyone out there. That was yesterday. To all the people who served in the military in any capacity, thank you for everything that you did, sacrificed, put up with, went through for that role. I know my dad was in the Navy. My grandfather was in the Navy. My uncle was in the Navy. I was not in the military, but I spent a bunch of time in my life as a contractor working with the military and got a different respect for everything that they go through and do. And so thank you for that. If you're tuning in today live, thank you for joining. This is session 13. Last week was pre-recorded because I was out of town for a mini vacation prior to my birthday, which was this week. So that was super fun. This one is live. I'm here. Whether you're tuning in on LinkedIn right now, the Facebook Cutter Consulting Group business page, or YouTube, or the Zoom webinar, welcome. Thank you. If you're on YouTube, Facebook, or LinkedIn, make sure to like this. Make sure to share it so that we can get this message out to everybody. And I'll tell you why that matters and why that's so important to me. And then also put a comment in there. Wherever you're watching it, just leave a comment, say hello. If you have a question, great. If you're tuning in via the Zoom webinar, hopefully you are, then you can put some chats in there. And either myself or someone who's helping me, Heather is tuned in as well. She can let me know those questions. And if we have time towards the end, we can go through those. But thank you for tuning in everywhere. And if you would like to catch these or be a part of the conversation on the Friday sessions, and be on the webinar, make sure to sign up for that. If you go to jasoncutter.com, there's a link across the top for joining in on these training sessions. And then, of course, the replays are made available everywhere. You might be watching this as a replay online or on the podcast, The Authentic Persuasion Show. If you search that wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever podcasts are sold, you can find The Authentic Persuasion Show. And I replay these episodes in audio form by Monday the next week. So by Monday next week, this episode will go on there. And that way you can check it out while you're walking around, driving, running errands, doing chores, whatever, and then get even more of this and kind of help you with your sales side. I always like to start out with why I do these. Might sound redundant. If you're a longtime listener, you're going to say, okay, I've heard this before, but it's so important because I want people to understand. If you're first time tuning in, thank you for joining here. The reason why I do this as a guy with a marine biology degree that was raised by two fantastic, loving, analytical parents who had a distrust for salespeople is because I ended up getting into sales and really understanding the value of it. And even beyond that, I realized my mission and all this, more than just helping people by selling them things, is to help others transform in whatever way I can. And the three ways I focus on is encouraging and enabling light bulb moments, that moment where somebody gets some new information, a new strategy, new tactic, new mindset, puts it in place, and it actually works, which is so fun for me, to help the underdog win their game. I've always felt like I was an underdog, kind of a shy, awkward, analytical, late blooming only child. And even to this day, I love supporting the underdog. And in this case here, anyone who's fallen into sales, they get into sales, or they know they should be doing sales, let's say solopreneurs who have a service or something they want to get out there in the world, but sales is just a dirty word and they don't know how to sell, or they don't trust in it, or they don't like the thought of sales. I want to help that person. That's why I do this as well. And then the third part is to leave people better off than I found them. Anything I can do to help anybody in any realm, whether it's, you know, whether I'm at the store or this kind of training, that's why I do this. That's why I'm giving this away for free, putting this out there, helping anybody who tunes in with your sales process. Now, with that being said, let's dive into it and what we're focused on this session. Last week in the pre-recorded message, if you didn't check that one out, make sure to tune in. You can find the replays again, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, on the Authentic Persuasion podcast. You can also find it on the Cutter Consulting Group site on the under podcast, or email me if you want direct links for any of these. You can email me at any time, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. But the thing is last week I talked about the hope stage. Now, not the hope stage that a lot of people rely on in their sales career, which is hoping that they close deals, or hoping that person calls back, or hoping their team is going to come in today and do a great job selling, or hoping they're going to hit their numbers this quarter. That's a different hope. That's a totally different conversation. The hope step that I'm talking about is the fourth part of the authentic persuasion pathway. Now, if you've been following along, if you've been listening into the last probably about 6-7 episodes, I've been explaining the authentic persuasion pathway. And it's a pathway where if you imagine an image, and I have a contextual model drawn out for this. So if you want to see that, again, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send that to you so you can visualize it and see that part. But imagine your customer, your potential customer, your lead, that person who you want as a client, is in their comfort zone. They're safe. They're in the middle. They're warm and cozy in their comfort zone with what they know and what feels safe to them. What's outside of that comfort zone is change. It's something new. Now, how do I know that? And how do I know that their number one fear is the fear of change? Well, if that wasn't the case, they would have already bought from you, or they would have called you up and said, hey, here's my money. I know what I want. I want that. Wrap it up. Let's go, right? Take my money. Give me what I want. In those situations, they already know what they want. So you're not battling a fear of change. You're not having to get them out of their comfort zone. They're fully ready. For everyone else, I know that I know that I know that they're in their comfort zone. They're stuck and they're looking for guidance on how to get out. And that's what this authentic persuasion pathway is it is the model and the process of how to get someone away from that nice, cozy, warm, heart-centered part of their comfort zone, where they're used to being and where it feels safe and it's away from danger. And there's a lot of primal reasons why. I won't get into recapping that, but go back to other episodes and you'll find out why that occurs. And your job is to move them out of that comfort zone and through the doorway that each person has through their comfort zone. And sometimes it's a very small opening, right? Like a pinhole. Sometimes it's huge. It's like a barn door and people will easily accept change and move through that. And so what you've got to do is you've got to understand your role is to get them away from the middle and then help them on the safest path out of their comfort zone to the best solution, right? And it's not about manipulating them, right? The reason why sales is such a dirty word is that people fear it because their experiences of it is as a dirty word as manipulation, which is I'm in sales and I'm doing sales to you so that I can benefit. I don't really care what happens to you. And that's what people don't like in sales. In fact, I had a conversation on LinkedIn. I'm going to post about it probably next week with somebody who I was chatting with. And he's like, well, I don't need that because I don't sell anybody on my product, right? On what I do. And we went back and forth and I was like, that's great. You shouldn't, right? And it's this aspect, which is sales and selling is dirty words in people's minds. And they don't want to do that. And the authentic persuasion pathway is an alternative option to that. Instead of thinking that sales is something I'm doing to somebody, instead sales is something I'm doing for somebody and with somebody and guiding them. Remember, your job is to be the guide, not the hero. A lot of people think in sales that their job is to be the hero and they're saving everyone and they're coming in and they've got the perfect solution. No, instead, that person needs to feel safe and that you're the guide and you know how to get them to safety, right? Safely up the mountain, safely to where they want to go, where they need to go, what would help them achieve a goal, get out of pain, do something they like, buy something they want, whatever that looks like. So the stages we've been through so far is rapport, empathy, trust, and then hope. Hope was last week. I talked about it. And what we're going to talk about this week is a follow-up to that. And again, I recap all this because it's so important. In case you're tuning this for the first time or you've been watching these, this is a good reminder. Those are the steps. Those are the stages. Those are the reasons why we're doing this, is to help that person make a change. It's fundamentally buying something new equals change. Going to a new restaurant you've never been to is change. Some people, they have no tolerance for that. They won't go to a new restaurant. They won't try a new food. They won't try anything. They have it made up in their mind, or they had a bad experience as a kid and they think, okay, that's still the case. And that's not fair. Funny story. I don't think I mentioned this last week. If I did, I apologize, but it's funny to me because I had this experience with change with candy corn. For some reason, as a kid, I thought I never liked candy corn. I feel like I told this story last week. But the thing was, is I thought candy corn was gross. I don't know why, but some point as a kid, I made up in my mind candy corn was bad. Now, I just turned 46. I had candy corn again for the first time in a very long time with Halloween. That was just a couple of weeks ago. And I realized this is amazing. It's like hard cupcake icing or cake icing. It's just straight up sugar. And I don't know why I wouldn't have liked it before, but it's just, a bite-sized amount of sugar. And in my mind, I was like, I don't like candy corn. And then I realized I do. So people have these things about change in their mind in all aspects. And if you're selling something that's a considered purchase where somebody has to make a decision and there's a right path and a wrong path, and will it fit and will it not fit? And should I buy this or is it going to help me? Then that change aspect is even more challenging. And that's what you're up against. That's why I keep talking about this, because it's so important. If you understand this, and when you can use the authentic persuasion pathway in all of these steps, then what happens is you can be that guide to help people. And remember, I say this all the time, and people come up to me and they talk to me about it, or they message me, is that everything in life is sales. If you want to get your boss or your manager to agree with your ideas, or you need your team to follow your new path or plan or something you want changed, all of that is in this same realm. This pathway works for all of this when you follow these steps. Now, we've talked about hope. I've been talking about this now and building up to here. And what I want to do is talk about two things this week. Now, I'm going to try to cover two things. If you've listened to me for a while, you know, I like to go into some detail, give you as much tactics, strategies, background, and ideas so that you can use these things, not just like, here's this thing, go use it. I don't even know why it's going to work, but I want to give you the fundamentals for it. So I don't always get to everything on my list of topics, but let's start with the most important thing. And this is what I hear a lot from people. And this is, I'll tell you why it fits into this hope step and why I'm talking about it now, while we're still in the authentic persuasion pathway. We haven't even gotten to closing a deal yet, right? That's going to come up in the next week or two when we get to the fifth and final step of the authentic persuasion pathway. But for now, we've got to talk about the biggest thing that a lot of people ask me about, that everyone faces, which is following up. What if you don't close a deal, right? What happens when you have a conversation with someone and they don't buy on the spot, and you have to do some follow-up? Now, in most sales environments, for most people, for what they're selling, rarely ever is it a 100% one call close. Now, sometimes it might be a one call close. I've worked in many industries where when you talk to someone, you can help them on the spot, sign them up for a service. That should happen most of the time, but not all the time. Sometimes people have to check with somebody else, family member, friend. It's always interesting how many people always have a uncle or a relative or a friend that they want to go to
has the authority for helping them make decisions, no matter what it is they're buying, right? I've helped people who were in credit card debt get into the various programs for that. And it's always interesting when someone says, well, I got to talk to my uncle because he knows a lot about this. Oh, really? Has he done this kind of program? No. Has he ever been in it? No. Like, okay. And it really, what that is, that person doesn't feel safe in the moment and they're using a lifeline and they want to talk to somebody else and make sure it's safe. Fundamentally, that means they don't trust you to make them feel safe. And so they're going to somebody who they generally rely on to feel safe. And I won't go into all the details on why that happens, but you can always hit me up. I'm happy to chat with you about why that happens and what you can do about it in the moment, especially how you overcome that kind of objection or obstacle. There's, I wouldn't say there's always a way, there's generally a way to address that and help someone feel safe in the moment. So there's, for most people, there's going to be a follow-up. For very few people, they're closing 100% of their sales 100% of the time in one conversation, one call, one meeting, whatever that looks like. It doesn't happen. And when it does, if that is your mode where you feel like you've got to close 100% of the people in one meeting on the first shot, my guess is that that's going to lead to a lot of pressure, maybe some manipulation, a lot of the sales tactics and the things that people don't like from you, the salesperson. And so there's a balance between wanting that urgency, wanting to help people in the moment, and then also needing to follow. The other thing that I've learned too is that if a salesperson has a very high one call, one day, one meeting close, right? They're closing most all or all of their sales right now. What that also means to me is that they're generally not following up either. So they're not calling anyone else back. They figure if they don't close now, they're never going to close. I don't want to talk to them again. And they're not, you know, following up, calling them, sending them messages, you know, checking in with them and moving them forward in that pipeline. If I think of, let's say, car salespeople who, if they see that opportunity when somebody comes onto the dealership lot, they have a chance to sell them. If that person walks away, then they pretty much learn, hey, it's not even worth following up with them, because if they had bought, now it's great. Otherwise, they're not interested and they may have bought something else. I'm not even going to try to follow up with them. The successful people I know in car sales and in any industry, they're doing that follow-ups. They're reaching out to people who didn't buy in this moment, in this meeting, and trying to move them forward, trying to get them to close and move some percentage of that forward. One thing to keep in mind, because I have a lot of people that listen to this, a lot of companies I work with that have longer sales cycle, right? So you might be thinking, okay, well, I sell something that takes 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, years to close, right? Like a few weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas speaking at a conference for senior living, senior housing, facilities, assisted living, independent living, all kinds of things. And when somebody's making a decision to change their lifestyle, change their home, move into a new place, that is a big decision. And sometimes that takes a really long time and that sales cycle is really long. However, one of the things, and I've mentioned this here on these training sessions and in general, is that each conversation should be seen as an individual sales opportunity and conversation, right? So it complete when we're going through the authentic persuasion pathway, it's in each conversation. So even if you have a long sales cycle, then you see each one as you're going to do the complete steps, and then there's going to be the follow-up. And so this applies to everyone. Now, here's what happens with follow-ups. And here's what I wrote about in Selling with Authentic Persuasion in chapter 16, is talking about avoiding the follow-up trap. And so what happens and what that means is that a lot of times salespeople get into this mode where they have the people they're talking to right now, and then they don't buy today. Again, whether it's a short sales cycle, it's a long sales cycle, doesn't matter, because the pattern is the same. What happens is that sale doesn't occur today, doesn't close, something doesn't happen, and then there's a follow-up. And then what happens is those follow-ups don't seem to go anywhere. People don't answer. They don't show for the follow-up appointments or the meetings that were scheduled. They don't do what they said they were going to do. Like maybe they were going to send you documents or sign something or get somebody else involved, whatever that looks like. nothing is occurring, and then you're chasing them. What I have come to use for that kind of situation, especially when I see that with sales reps pipelines, is that it feels like, and the term that I use is the prospect witness protection program. So like a witness protection program where the government or somebody is taking like a witness for a trial and then changing their identity and moving them to a new town and keeping them safe so they can't be found. It almost feels like that same thing with your prospects, where literally it can feel like they have gone into a prospect witness protection program, where literally you call them and they don't answer. You email them and you literally wonder, did they change their name? Did they change their phone number? Are they avoiding me? And there's a lot of reasons why it can actually feel like that and why you could have triggered those things. And I may cover those in various upcoming sessions. And it's a lot of training I do for salespeople and for companies to help them understand what caused that. Why does it feel like that? Why does it feel like literally they might have put in their phone under caller ID, do not answer, right? When you called, it feels like literally everything was great. And I've seen this too with many instances where somebody was the perfect fit. Square peg. I have, they're a square peg issue. I've got a square hole solution. Like, it's a perfect fit. They need what I have more than anything. It's going to make a huge difference, might change their life, change their business, whatever that looks like. And not just in a everybody should buy this mode, but like literally it will solve them, solve something for them, or it will help them achieve a goal perfectly, exactly. And then they disappear. Right. And you're like, that was a done deal. That person should totally sign up or buy from me. And then poof, they're gone. Right. And that's that prospect witness protection program that I've seen so many times. It's so interesting. Now, let's talk about a couple of things. What happens if you're in that? Because a lot of people, by the time I talk to them or I'm doing training or I'm advising them or their companies, is they say, yes, that's happening. Like, you know, I'm reaching out to these people and no one is calling me back. The first thing is understanding that it might be too late. The things that led to you ending up with a pipeline that's in this, follow-up trap where people aren't responding. The thing is that it might be too late. And I know people don't want to hear that. And it's tough because the results of having people who aren't calling you back is related to what's done in those sales conversations. And if you're not following the authentic persuasion pathway and the rapport and the empathy and the trust and the hope and the next step that I'm going to talk about next week, that fifth and final step, which is the most important one for all of this, if you're not doing that in these conversations and you're in the classic sales mode, which is I'm the hero, I'm amazing, you should want what I have, I'm going to push you towards that, that is not going to work. And once those people get off the phone and they get away from you, it's kind of like somebody who's hypnotized or under a spell getting away from that person who cast a spell on them, and like it's wearing off and they realize, wait a second, I don't want that, or I don't want to do that. And that's what's happening, right? That's why a lot of people, they use a very gross urgency in sales because they know that if that person steps away, they're going to lose that opportunity. But that's not what I want for you all. What I want you to use is authentic persuasion and be able to sell and persuade like a professional such that people want what you're offering and you know that you have the right solution. If you're not doing that, the challenge is that a lot of times that pipeline of people that you're following up, you're trying to get back on board, you're trying to move them forward. The challenge is the damage is already done. The trust step wasn't done correctly. They don't feel safe. They have retreated back into their comfort zone and locked up even tighter. And what I'll tell you, and this is my feeling based on listening to calls, talking to people, and just seeing it so many times, I feel like many times, and I know this, I'll say myself as a consumer, is there's times where I almost buy something, or I think about buying something and I talk to a salesperson and then I get away from it. I have the ability to say no, like I use it in that moment. I don't always, but when I say no, then I step away and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I didn't buy that, right? I'm relieved. I count my blessings and I go, okay, that is amazing. I dodged a bullet by not signing up for that service or buying that thing or doing that thing. And I'm so grateful for that. And that's what can happen a lot of times when it's not done properly. Not only are they going to retreat to the safety of their comfort zone, they're going to be grateful and thankful they didn't sign up, which when you call them is just going to aggravate them even more. Or it will also make them a more difficult customer buyer in the future, because they might be even less trusting of other salespeople down the road. And I know that we've all experienced that if you've been in sales for any length of time, where it almost feels like you're inheriting somebody else's bad deeds, and you're basically getting the distrust that that prospective person has in general for salespeople because of being burned in the past. And we've all had that, where somebody comes at you with lots of questions, lots of issues, lots of challenges, want to know about price, contracts. Oh, I never sign contracts. Oh, I never pay more than this. I would never sign up for that, because of what has happened to them in the past. And that's always super important. And I don't think I have done very much in these sessions talking about overcoming objections. When I get to that part, I will explain why this happens and then also what to do about it. And if you're having challenges with overcoming objections now, or you want to get better at it, or take a completely different approach than you might already be doing, make sure hit me up, because I'm happy to send you my ebook. So email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have an ebook, which is a sales consultant's guide to overcoming objections. That's like the number one thing that people usually have challenges with in the moment in their selling process. Like, it's like the first thing they think they have an issue with. And then usually what happens is we find out there's more and we work on more of these strategies. But email me and I'm happy to send you the PDF version of that ebook, or you can find it on Amazon, on Kindle. But I'm happy to send it to you to help you. Here's the thing though, is that you've got this person that you're dealing with, you haven't closed them. You let them off the phone, or you're done with your meeting. They're not answering. You can't get them back into your process, your pipeline. What can you do about it? Again, for most people out there, the damage is done. You can't recover that. It's not possible. What was done damaged it or caused it to get to a point where they put their head back in the sand. They're in their comfort zone. They feel safe. They feel secure. They might be grateful they didn't buy from you and they avoided a bullet, and it's done. In those situations, sometimes what you can do as a company is shuffle pipelines, have a different person call those people back, and maybe that will revitalize them. Maybe a different voice will help them feel better, right? Like, they don't like John, so let me get them to Kim. They didn't like Becky, let me get them to Bill. Switch some pipelines, maybe a new voice, maybe a different person. You never know. Sometimes that will revive some of those people. So that's the bad news. That's the downside with this, is that if you're stuck in the follow-up trap, which is your people are not calling you back, sometimes there's very little you can do. Now, you could do some marketing things and some retargeting and some finding them online. But again, if they put their head back into the sand, that's a tough one. So that's the bad news people usually don't want to hear about. Let's talk about what you can do. The key is moving forward, using the authentic persuasion pathway and using this process to avoid the follow-up trap. The biggest thing we want to do is avoid the follow-up trap. Now, why aren't people responding? One of the biggest things and reasons why people aren't responding is because they don't think you care and they don't think you're trying to help them. And I've talked about this many times in these training sessions. I talk about it when conferences and companies have me come on stage or speak to their groups and I'm doing trainings. Is one of the biggest things is that you following this process we've been talking about, such that the people you're talking to, your prospective customers, these clients, these people you want to be moving forward in your pipeline, is you make it about them. That's why I have built this model like I have, the authentic persuasion pathway, with the rapport, the empathy, the trust, and the hope. And then this fifth step coming up soon is that it's all about them. And so you want to make sure you follow that process. And if you do that, that changes why they're not following up, why they're not responding. Okay. So that's one of the biggest things. Now, here's how you use this. Because if you remember in the hope step that I covered last week, it's about taking your solution, your product, your service, your idea, whatever it is that you've got, right? You could be raising money for your business from venture capitalists. Like, literally, this applies to all of those situations. Trust me, I've used it. I've taught it. I've trained people on it. I've played with it in various scenarios, and it works as a universal, you know, strategy. And then you fill in your part, right? The authentic persuasion piece is you and what you bring to the table. So in that hope step, it was all about your solution and then what they need or want. But again, remember, the key is you have to understand why they want or need what it is that you're selling. Okay, that's so important. I'm gonna say this again because I haven't mentioned in a few weeks. You have to know why they want or need what it is that you are selling. And that was the goal of the empathy step, which is the discovery, probing, question asking, like getting that information from people and digging as deep as they will let you and as deep as you can go. You need that one piece of information. You need to know that, okay? And if you want a worksheet on getting to that point, asking those questions and how to figure that out in your sales process, so you can get that information, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send you the worksheet that I have that I give to companies and they use that. So the thing is, you've got to know that why. In your hope step, remember, you're taking that why and you're applying it to them and your solution and that intersection, right? Why do they want this? Well, here's what I have, and here's why you would want it, and here's why it helps you. It's not that my solution is going to help everybody the same way. And even if it does, you still want to make it personalized, which is here's my solution. Here's how it's going to help you achieve the goal that you want, get out of pain, get the thing that you want, be happy, have a fun experience, buy something that you like and that you're just trying to justify mentally. Like whatever that is, you've got to know why. At the deepest level, and then you solve that why with the hope step and with what you have. That is so important. That, I'm telling you, is the solution and the key part to avoid the follow-up trap. And here is why. So for most people, they're not closing 100% in the moment, and they're not you know, closing 100% of the people in one call all the time, right? And again, I explained why I don't even want that for most people, because it means you're probably not doing a great job, especially as a sales professional. And so then what happens is that you've got to do follow-ups, right? I'm going to call you next week and I'm going to do this, or you're going to do that, and I'm going to follow up, whatever that looks like. Here is the key. You've got to know that one question. You've got to know the answer to that one question, which is why do they want or need what it is that I am selling? When you do, your follow-ups sound totally different, because here's how most follow-ups sound. Hey, this is Jason. I'm just checking in. Wanted to see if you were still interested in moving forward. You know, if you're ready to buy. And so that's what, you know, a lot of voicemails, phone calls, emails, texts, a lot of it are in that frame. But like, I'm just checking in. I just want to see if you're ready. Right. And in my estimation and my experience, is what you're hoping for. This is back to the hope that, you know, I mentioned in the beginning, not the good hope that we're talking about, but it's the hope that my phone call as a salesperson will be at the intersection of you knowing that you want to move forward or have forgot that you want to move forward. And this is a perfect reminder. Oh yeah, that's right. I wanted to buy that thing, right? Or I wanted to sign up for that thing. So it's really hope, which is the intersection of me calling a couple of times this week and sending some emails and doing some things. Like, that's going to be what's going to make this deal happen. And you're really hoping that intersection is what makes your deal happen. All right. So that's one strategy. That's a common strategy. It's not a very effective strategy in my mind. As you're hoping for that intersection, the probability that the stars line up, especially if you're making phone calls, you're hoping that the time when you make that phone call is also the time when they want that phone call. And then also they want that reminder about that thing they haven't bought yet. And then that synergy just works out. Right? That's what you're hoping for in that timing. And a lot of people play that game. They play the numbers game. They think if I just do that enough times, it's all going to work out. A better approach, leveraging what I talked about, which is why do they want or need this? The stuff you talked about in the hope step, and then where you leave things off at the next step that we'll get to next week, is that your voicemails and your messages want to be more directed at that. Hey, John, it's Jason. I am following up because we spoke last. You wanted XYZ because of this issue that you told me, or this is your situation, or you were hoping to solve this or achieve this thing, or, you know, go towards this goal. And I'm just following up because I know that you said that was important to you. And I just want to help make that happen and support you in any way I can, whatever that looks like for you. And I work on a lot of custom scripting for companies, for sales reps, to help them with that follow-up. But the key is you've got to know that piece of information. Otherwise, you're just hoping. You're just hoping those messages work. But if you know that piece of information, you know why it is they would want it, then you're reminding them. And of course, that might sound very similar. It might sound like I'm saying the same thing, but I'm trying to be fancy with it or trying to make it sound special, which is I'm also still at the intersection of me calling, following up, emailing, texting, and them realizing they want it. The difference is, again, keep in mind, if they don't buy on the spot with you, they don't sign up today, and you leave that interaction, the meeting, there's a good chance they're going to revert back and go back into their comfort zone, into their safety and what they know, and avoid that change. It's what we've been talking about now for the better part of 13 weeks. The reason why it's important to know is that that's what's going to happen. If they didn't buy, they're going to retreat somewhat, right? If they were ready, they would have bought. And so your job is to help remind them, what did they want? What did they want that's on the outside of that comfort zone that was requiring change, which is what they're afraid of? And if you can remind them of that, you can help pull them out of that and get them back on the path. That's what you're doing every time you're following up, is you're getting people back on the path and trying to move them closer and closer to that finish line where they embrace change. They realize it's safe. They realize that you're the guide in this whole thing and that you're helping them be the hero, and you're reminding them why do they want it. And if you look at every hero's journey, every story, every movie, things like that, that's what the guide's doing. There's always that point in the movie where the hero, the soon-to-be hero, like the focus of the story, where they have that crisis of faith, crisis of meaning, crisis of events, where something happens. They were on a good path, then it starts to fail. They lose, somebody in their life dies, they lose a battle with the bad guy in the movie, and they take a step back and they have a crisis thinking, who am I? And the guide always reminds them of the path they're on and why they're on this path. Right? Think about that in most all of the hero stories, hero journey movies that you can think of, the Star Wars, the Harry Potters, all of those where it's like, there's that crisis moment. Then there's the guide that helps them get back on the path and gets connected with why. You've got to know that why. And when you do, your follow-up messages are completely different. Now, will it work all the time? No. Some people put their head back in the sand. Some people are busy with life. We're all busy with life. Things fall to the side. And so you're always going to have people where they still don't buy. You can't get a hold of them. But if you follow this process and integrate that into your follow-ups will be more impactful, more effective when you're tying it to them. Again, this isn't, and this is my challenge with the end of the quarter. I won't even say what I feel about that stuff, but the end of the quarter manipulation, the end of the month manipulation, the end of the week manipulation, which is, hey, we're doing a special. If you sign up by the end of the quarter, like, here's this thing, and I'm going to give you this thing, and I'm basically bribing you to buy from me, right? Which is what that is. It's purely manipulation, not in the dirty sense of like lying to people, but you're essentially bribing them to be a client because it's the end of the quarter or it's the end of the year, right? Which, not always super bad for business. I would contest that it probably is if you look at those sales. But here is the thing. Instead of those kind of approaches where you're just hoping, again, that you can get them to take action, these kind of follow-ups, even if it is at the end of the quarter, hey, we're doing this thing, and here's why this is important to you. You said this was an important initiative, right? I think of all the B2B clients that I have or the ones that I've worked with, which is, you said you had this initiative. You told me that this would be really important to you and that this would help you, your position, your department, the company heading into the next 3 months, next 6 months, the next 12 months. And I want to make sure that you stay on that path and that this doesn't fall aside. The really good people in sales use that kind of approach where it's not just, it's the end of the quarter and I want to hit my numbers. It's, you said this was important to you and I want to make sure we do it because I know that if you don't do it, I don't know what's going to happen to you, and you might not hit those goals. And then I feel responsible for not doing my part to support you. So focus on that when you do that, when you do your follow-ups in your emails, your messages, your texts, that will be more effective. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that will help you avoid the follow-up trap. And again, you're never going to close 100% of the people 100% of the time. Amazing salespeople close 30%, 40%, 20%, depending on your industry, depending on what part you're measuring, right? If is it a warm lead and a transfer or an inbound call or an appointment set by somebody and that to a closed deal, some people have really high percentages, but it's because they've already qualified that lead and that's different. But you're never going to close 100%. So just keep that in mind. But with the, what you can do is you can move the needle in your favor to get those follow-ups to be more effective. The other thing you can do is to make sure that you're setting strong follow-ups. A lot of people I see are, when they end up having to do a follow-up or when it gets to that point, they're saying, okay, well, here's my information. Just let me know or talk to your Uncle Bob and I'll wait to hear back from you or I'll follow up with you next week and see what you want to do. And that's not effective. And there's way more effective things to do for that. If you want that information, you want my tips for that, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to share that as well. Because there's a good way to set that follow-up and make it really strong. It's not rocket science, but a lot of people don't do it. A lot of people who I see acting more like order takers are avoiding that step and not doing that effectively. So that's one of the things. All right. So in our time here, what I want to do is I want to talk about one of the closes as we wrap up. And then I'll talk about the other one next week as we dive into this fifth and final part of the authentic persuasion pathway. So here's the thing. Is in this process. So we've gone through four steps so far: rapport, empathy, trust, and hope. And as we're moving forward, one of the things is that your job is to be that professional. I've talked about this off and on over the previous 12 sessions, is that if we look at another profession, something like the medical profession and what a doctor does, a doctor has a very consultative approach. Now, there's a lot of people who say, you know, they do consultative sales and they do a consultative approach. But I think it's really important to match that with this process and a mindset, which is the consultative approach is not just about asking questions and finding out how I can help, which is the fundamental basis of what we've done so far, which is I want to know what your need or want is. I want to see if I have a solution. And then I'm going to tell you the customized solution for that, right? It's a common process that sales professionals will follow, not just consultants, even though you hear consulting, consultative sales process, consultative close. You think it's just for consultants, but it's anyone who's consulting. And I think as a sales professional, you're always consulting your clients on what's the right path. I talked about it several weeks ago where I even mentioned like the power of saying no. When you're consulting somebody and you're like, what you want is not something I can help you with. And here's a different path and go do this or don't buy at all. I've even had potential clients, leads that I've talked to. This is way back in the call center days that we would deal with, which is don't buy or sign up with us and don't sign up with anybody. Like, stop trying to sign up for this. It's not going to help you no matter who you talk to. Somebody's going to try to talk you into it, but stop. Stop trying to sign up. You don't need this. Go this other path, do this other thing, or you're doing okay. You don't need any help from anybody. Just keep on doing what you're doing. So when I talk about consultative sale and a consultative process. That's what we've been building. And that's not rocket science. That's not anything new. I'm not trying to claim that that's anything different than what others might do. The key though, is when we get to these steps, especially this hope step and the next one, is that with a consultative process, with a consultative approach and a consultative close, the key is being the authority and being the professional that says, you have this problem. I see this as the solution. I have that solution. And now this is what we need to do, right? Again, think of the doctor analogy, and I'll pick this up next week when we continue this, which is the doctor goes through their process, right? Let's say you have a broken arm and you go into the emergency room and they do their process, right? So they do the x-rays, they do the tests, they're looking at things, they're looking at your arm that's broke, and confirming that it's broke, where it's broke, how it's broke, what does that look like? And then what would the treatment be, right? And this is what I talked about before, which is that, you know, prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. So they're going to go through their process. They're going to determine what the diagnosis is before they give you the prescription. What happens in the ER is they go through that process. They check your arm. They do all their due diligence, essentially, right? If we think about it in a sales term, and then they come back with the diagnosis and then they give you the prescription. And think about what happens in the ER. So the doctor comes back and says, all right, your arm is broken and here's where it's broken. The next step is that we need to re-break your arm because of the situation. Then we need to put in a cast and then you're going to need to take it easy for 6 to 8 weeks and we'll re-examine you. Here is a brochure on broken arms. Here's information on it. Here's my business card. You also might want to do some research online. So I'm going to send you a follow-up email. I'm sure that you have somebody that you want to talk to get approval from and make sure this is okay with. I'm sure you're going to want to do your research. And so, you know, here's the information. Let us know if we can help. I'll follow up with you next week. Right? No, that is exactly not what they would do. And in fact, if a doctor did that, they would be in so much trouble and it would just, people wouldn't know what to do. Right? So what does a doctor do instead? Well, a doctor goes through their process, comes back, arm is broken. You need to re-break it. You need to put in a cast, 6 to 8 weeks. Here's the follow-up appointment. Any questions before we begin? Okay, hold on. Here we go. Part of that is this consultative close, that consultative process, which is I'm the professional. You came to me for help. I diagnosed it. Here's the prescription. Here's what we need to do. Let's go. And that will go into the close that we're going to talk about next week when I continue this and then hit that fifth and final step. But that is the difference. That is the difference between sales professionals who have the mindset of what their duty is. Again, sales is something you're doing for somebody and with somebody. It's to help them. It's an act of service. And you're getting them from this point right here in their comfort zone, outside of their comfort zone, to change as safely as possible as their guide. And that is so key. And when you do that, it's different than asking for permission. You've got to earn the right to close. In that doctor's example, they have earned the right to make that kind of assumption and move forward. You've got to earn that right in your conversation and doing these steps. That's why I have built the authentic persuasion pathway the way that I have, is because you're earning the right to close the sale as you go through the pathway. Right? Earning the right is different from asking for the sale. Those are two different things. You always have to earn the right to close and earn the permission in the relationship and the conversation to then make the close or make the sale. It's two different things. A lot of people think their job is to vomit a whole bunch of information, facts, figures, features, benefits, and just junk and just throw everything at somebody and then ask for the sale. And so they're hoping for that intersection. And that's not what I want for you to do. So thank you for tuning in, everybody. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who tuned in via the webinar on Zoom. If you do want to take part in that, if you do want to be a part of the conversation, submit questions, chat, say hello on that. You can always go to jasoncutter.com and find the link for signing up on the Zoom webinar, which is always fun. It's great to see people in there, especially the names that I know. A lot of times, if you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, if you're on LinkedIn, watching this, I can't see who you are. So I don't know who's out there just in the world watching this. I can see some numbers on various things from my side, but I don't know who. And I always love knowing who's tuning in. Again, please, wherever you watch this, wherever you tuned in, hit the like button, leave a comment. It always helps. Even if it's on the replay and you're catching this later, I will tune into that afterwards and get those messages. And then also share this, because one of the big things as I close out now is my mission, right? I have the three parts of my mission, but ultimately my focus right now is to empower over 1 million authentic persuaders out there in the world. Because if you imagine 1 million people using the principles and things that I talked about, in addition to what they're doing as an authentic sales professional, how that would change the landscape for customers, right? When we are out in the world interacting with salespeople, what kind of salesperson would we want helping us as a professional versus what is it that we all dread and don't want to deal with? When you walk into a store and say, I'm just looking, that's the wall that goes up that says, I don't trust you. I don't want to deal with you because I think you're a salesperson and you're not here to help me versus I want help. Here's what I'm looking for. Please guide me. That's different. I want the public to change that landscape and framework of what sales means to them and shift it from being a dirty word to something that's, like I said, an act of service. So please share this, put this out there, share with your friends, share with your network. Let's get this message out there. Let's shift it together, which will help everybody in sales. And then the final thing is I'm getting really close to launching my group coaching program. So if you like this information, if you like authentic persuasion and what I've been covering here, and it resonates with you, and you think there's some ways it could help, and as you're going through your regular day in sales, again, whether you're a solopreneur, you're a small business owner, you're sitting in a cubicle, you're working from home, selling over the phone, you're knocking on doors. If you ever have questions, if you ever have challenges, hey, I don't know how to overcome this objection. I don't know what to do about this. In my mind, I get really stressed and I get stuck and I get paralyzed and I don't want to make more phone calls. Any questions, anything like that comes up, then you want to be a part of my group coaching program. So it's going to be a great program. It is all coaching via questions and answers. So not lectures, not seminars that I'm putting out here that I want to share with everyone here. But if you want to close more deals and make more money and overcome any questions you have, challenges, or learn from other people and the questions they have and the advice that they get and the ways that could help them that could also help you, then make sure to join the program. And you can go to jasoncutter.com and find the link for the group coaching on there and sign up for the pre-enrollment. You can also go to cutterconsultinggroup.com/coaching if you want to do that. And you can also email me. I can send you the link. Jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com is always a good way to go as well. And I appreciate everyone tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, joining into this conversation, being a part of this session 13, authentic persuasion training session.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.